If you'd like to turn with us in your Bible this evening to the book of Romans and to the chapter 10. And we'd just like to read some verses from the verse 9 through to the end of the verse 17 of the chapter. We'd just like to thank our brother Gil for the words of welcome along to Crossgar this evening. And we do thank our minister in the session for the invitation to come and to take part in this special meeting this evening. My wife and I were glad to be with you to share fellowship this evening. I was trying to think back how long it is since we were in Crossgar before, but I think it must have been back maybe in student days, which is a number of years ago. But we are glad to be with you in the Lord this evening. We'd just like to read from the verse from Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9 through 17. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich on all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And with the Lord's word open before us, just let us come again before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank the Lord that we are gathered in thy presence this evening. We thank you for the hymns that we've been singing. We thank the Lord that we have been gathered around thy throne of grace and prayer. And we thank the Lord for the word of testimony and for this portion of thy word that we've read together. And we pray now, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to continue with us and to grant the help of thy Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. It was through the words of Romans chapter 10 and the verse 13 that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And that was back in March of 1971, Sunday morning, after the service in our Oma church and going home. And by my own bedside, I called upon the Lord for salvation. But in the months that followed that, I struggled with some things in my life, and I began to doubt and to wonder whether or not that I was saved. And then in October of 1971, there was one Sunday evening, my two brothers had received two little booklets from the Reverend Elliot in church. And that evening, in reading those two little booklets, I came to realize that my salvation did not depend upon me or my faults or my failings, but depended upon the Lord and upon his word. And the Lord tells us in Romans 10 and the verse 13 that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that night there was a tremendous peace entered into my heart, because I realized that truly that all was well with my soul. And I can say that from that day I have not doubted God's salvation. When I was about 16, I was asked if I would teach a Sunday school class. And so week by week, as I had to study the scriptures and to prepare a lesson for my class, and although that I was the one who was teaching the class, I was the one who was really learning. And I can say that in teaching Sunday school, it was through teaching Sunday school that the Lord enabled me to grow in grace and increase my love for the scriptures. The little verse that the Lord gave to me for teaching Sunday school is found in John's Gospel, in chapter 21, and the verse 15, those words of Peter. Yea, Lord, that I know, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And those little words there that as the Lord used those little words there to speak to me concerning teaching Sunday school. Feed my lambs. In 1986, my work, and I went to work on an little island in the West Indies. An little island called Dominica. It's not the Dominican Republic, but it is the little island of Dominica. It's a little island about the same size as the Isle of Man, and actually it has the same sort of population. It's around about 80,000. And there I was teaching agriculture and science in a school, and it was at that time that the Lord was further drawing me out after Himself and drawing me to His work. The Lord had been working on my heart, and I wasn't sure about Bible college, if I could manage the studies, and it was suggested to me that summer that I could do some courses in the summer school in Bob Jones University. And so that summer, it was back in 1987, I went to Bob Jones during the summer, and I did three courses. I remember them well. The Bible doctrine, studies in the Gospel of John. And then I also did some a cross-country flying course to build on my private pilot's license. But whenever I returned to Dominica that year, I had the opportunity to preach in the evening service in a little church, a little Baptist church in the town of Marigot. Or Marigot was really just a village. It was a place where I lived in the northwestern part or the northeastern part of the island. The church there in Marigot, it was an extension work of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, which was a church that was pioneered by Pastor Johnny Daniels. And our Pastor Daniels has been over here, and he has spoken in some of our churches. The church in Marigot had only a morning service with a few people who came from Marigot, and there were some others who came with Pastor Challenger, who was the minister in the Lighthouse Baptist Church over in the Carib Reserve. But in the evening service at the beginning, there were a few times, and I went along to the church, and there was no congregation. I was the only one who was there. And then the numbers began to build, and we had from 12 to 13 people who came along on the Sunday evening. But whenever my contract with the school finished, I returned to Ulster here in July of 1988. And looking back, I do thank the Lord. And I thank the Lord that today that there is a missionary family working in Marigot. And I do thank the Lord that there has been a church that has been established there to the honour and to the glory of the Lord. I returned to work in Greenwood Agriculture College, and it was in December 1988 that the Lord confirmed my call to the ministry of the gospel. And through the words of Romans 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Following my time in Bible college, we ministered, many of you know, in the church in Bush Mills from 1995 through to 2004, a period of almost 9 years. But in the autumn of 2003, we had the opportunity to go out to the land of Kenya, and again in the autumn of 2006. And on both occasions, we felt the Lord speaking to our hearts about serving Him there. But it has not been until now that the Lord has opened the door of opportunity for us to go. The Lord has been pleased to lead us through His word, and we do thank the Lord that it is a privilege for all of God's people. Reminded in little word and Proverbs in chapter 3 and those verses 5 and 6, words which I'm sure are well known to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we do thank the Lord that it is a privilege for each one of us that the Lord would be pleased to lead, and the Lord does lead and guide through his word. In my own life, I think of such verses as Psalm 2 and verse 8, way back in the early days. Ask of thee, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Words in Proverbs 24 and verse 27, whenever, in those days, whenever I studied agriculture at Queen's, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. And then we have Psalm 96 in verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen. Our time for departure to Kenya, it's almost at hand. We've had our sending forth services since Thursday evening past, and in the will of the Lord, we will, believing, on Monday the 14th, next Monday, to go to the land of Kenya. As we consider our going, I would just like, first of all, to say a little bit about what we are going to Kenya to do. We are reminded of the commission that the Lord Jesus has given to his church. We read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so as we go to Kenya, is with the objective of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he spoke to the Apostle Paul. He related to the Apostle Paul as to why the gospel is to be preached. And we have that recorded for us in Acts 26 and verse 18, where it is recorded, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And as we think of darkness, and as we think of the power of Satan, we know it has relevance for this land here and for all countries throughout the world, but I believe in particular that is especially so concerning Africa, and as we think Kenya in particular. The African is greatly preoccupied with their old traditional ways, with their traditional religion, with witchcraft, with sorcery, with magic. African traditional religion affects every aspect of the life of a person. From the birth of a child until the death, unto death. Whether a person is a farm, or whether they go out and hunt, or whether they marry a wife, or children are born, whether sickness or famine comes, whether a person sets out on a journey, or whether the harvest is gathered in, every aspect of life is influenced by African traditional religion, by their old ways, by the rituals, their ceremonies, and all the rigmarole that goes with it. If a man's cattle die, while all the cattle of his neighbour remain untouched, immediately there is a suspicion that it has happened because of witchcraft. And whenever someone becomes wealthy, and it's recorded, whenever someone becomes wealthy in Kenya, polygamy is wrong, but they look upon a person who has many wives as being rich. As Reverend Horace said on Thursday night, and doesn't figure out how that could be, how a man with many wives could be rich. But you know what I mean? In the context of Africa, those who have, as it were, cattle, and they have gathered in a good harvest, they have many children, they also fear that they will become the subject of bewitching. And so the whole life they're caught up in fear and superstition, and the power of darkness is very real, and the power of Satan is very real. Many tribes believe whenever a man dies that his soul continues to live among the people, being transformed into an ancestral spirit. And they believe that an ancestral spirit is alive and in the midst of the community and has the power to bring fortune or misfortune. And so the whole of life is caught up in these things. And then whenever things happen, the people, they look for the services of the medicine man, whom they believe is able to reverse the misfortune. And again, as all sorts of things are done. And just to give you an example of how things work and some of the happenings that there is in an African town or an African village, Oswald Smith, in his book, The Challenge of Missions, he relates the following from a missionary. I'll just read it to you. It was midnight. Suddenly there was a death wail in the village. A little baby had died. Immediately the witch doctor was called. The villagers were aroused. Before long he pointed out a woman whom he accused of having caused the death of the little one. She immediately protested, insisting that she was innocent, but she had to be tried. They hurried her away to the tree that stood in the centre of the village. She was told to climb it and then hurl herself from the topmost brow. She began to climb. Presently she sat on one of the branches and again protested her innocence. Everyone knew that she was telling the truth. She was one of the finest women in the village, highly respected by all. But the witch doctor had pointed her out as the one guilty. Hence, she had to prove her innocence. Then she commenced climbing again until she had reached the very highest limb of the tree. There she sat, again maintaining her innocence. Then, before the horrified gaze of a missionary, she threw herself to the hard ground and was instantly killed, most of the bones of her body being broken. She was thereby judged guilty, had she been innocent, as she would have been unharmed. And this is what happened and has happened in the cases of hundreds and hundreds of people. African tradition, religion demands it, and hence there is no escape. Pray that the Lord Jesus would redeem such who are under the clutches of such heathen religion unto himself, that the Lord would be pleased to set the captives free. You know, whenever we think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4, in the verse 17, we read how that the Lord Jesus, whenever he was in Nazareth, where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up. He was given the scriptures to read, and he stood up and was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So whenever he had opened that book, he found the place where it was written in Isaiah chapter 61 and the verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. These words which speak of Christ himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then after the reading the first part of the verse 2, he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. These words which speak of the Lord Jesus reminds us that the Lord Jesus and his work, he came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison house, the prison, to them that are bound. And if we could just realize just how those gripped with this African traditional religion, how they are bound, and how that they are in that prison house, and all of themselves, they cannot set themselves free. They're bound. They're bound by their sin. They're bound by the ways of the community in which they live. And unless the Lord is pleased to intervene and to break those bonds and to set the prisoners free, they can't be freed. But the Lord Jesus is able. He is able. He is able to set at liberty the captives and open the prison of them that are bound. And so as we go to the land of Kenya, it is with a desire in our heart that in some little measure that we might be able to bring the gospel, and that we would be enabled by God's grace to fulfill in a little manner the great commission that he has given to his church. Just secondly, I want to say just a little bit about the spheres of our labour. Kenya, I'm sure as you all know, it's a country in East Africa. It straddles the equator. It has a population of approaching 40 million people. In many ways, Kenya could be said to be a hub in East Africa. Nairobi is a key point for air travel, and much activity passes through the city of Nairobi. But in our work, we will be living in Kitale, but we will be working in two different areas. Kitale is a main town in northwestern Kenya. It's a population in the town and area of somewhere around 220,000 people. Kitale is situated to the east of Mount Elgon. Mount Elgon is a large volcanic mountain. It has a diameter of about 50 miles. Kitale is about 6,500 feet above sea level, but Mount Elgon rises to 14,000. The border with Uganda runs right over the mountain. And we will be labouring in Kitale. And Kitale has a number of different tribes, or a number of people from different tribes. You have Lua, Kalenjin, Luo, Kikuyu, Kisi, Teso, Turkana, Saboat, Pokot, and others. There's a multiplicity of people from different tribal backgrounds. And we will be helping with the church in Katali, but we'll also be helping with the work that at Naiporo, which is near Kakamega, where our sister Gillian Gillespie is labouring for the Lord. Again, Kakamega is a main town. It's the capital of Kakamega County. The main tribal group in Kakamega are Luya, and the people are mainly involved in farming, and also those who live around the Lake Victoria, they would also engage in fishing. Kakamega, there's also a rainforest there which extends into Uganda. It's also the headquarters of Kenya's largest sugar-producing company, Mumias Sugar. And Kakamega has also got a university, so there are many young people who come there for their studies. And we will be hoping to help our sister Gillian Gillespie in her work in that area. And speaking of Kenya, the last time that we were there, and I often tell this in our deputation meetings, there was one occasion, there was a man came to us and he asked us how many tribes we had here in Northern Ireland. It was a subject that was he was very interested in. And I told him we had two tribes. And he went on to tell me that there were 42 or 43 tribes in the land of Kenya. But unfortunately, the animosity that exists between two tribes here is multiplied manyfold in the land of Kenya. Not every tribe is against every other tribe, but there is a lot of animosity among the tribes. Tribal allegiances are very important, especially in the political affairs of the country. Jomo Kenyatta, the first president, was Kikuyu, and then Daniel Arap Moi, who he was Kalenjin, and then the present president, Mwai Kibaki, he is Kikuyu. And elections for a new president are scheduled for the 4th of March, which is only about 2 months away. On the last occasion, there was presidential elections, some 1,300 people lost their lives. But do pray that this time, that the presidential elections would be peaceful. And also pray for unity in the congregations, that the tensions which exist between the tribes and the communities would not spill over into the churches, especially at election time. So we, and our labours, we will be labouring in the churches. But then also, in addition to the churches, much of our focus will be on getting the Bible College up and running again. The Bible College was started a number of years ago with the Reverend Harris, and then continued with the Reverend David DeCanu, and both did sterling work in the Bible College. But all the students of those days have finished their studies and have graduated, and there's been no fresh intake of studies or students in the recent times, and therefore there's no Bible College at present. Pray that the Lord would be pleased to call young people from BCSE churches and from the Christian Academy to go and to labour in the Lord's vineyard. And pray that students, young people from the various tribes, will come and be trained, and then that they in turn will go out to evangelise their own people and to plant New Testament churches in their local communities and the local areas. I believe there's a key part of the work in Kenya. Remember the Lord Jesus, whenever he was upon earth, that he spent time, first of all, to train the 12 disciples and send them out, and then the 70 and send them out. And so this, we believe, is a key part in the work in Kenya. And we hope that to be able to commence the Bible College again whenever we go out to Kenya. Pray that the Lord would lead us and guide us to, as to the courses that are provided, and that truly that the Lord would call many into his service. C.T. Studd reminds us that we want preachers that will hurt the devil and confound the world. And he goes on to tell us that it's not so much the degree of the arts that is needed, but hearts loyal and true, that love not their lives unto death, large and loving hearts which seek to save the lost multitudes. And so pray that the Lord would raise up many young people with that earnest desire to go forth and to evangelize the lost. There will be various aspects to our work. We hope to be involved in visitation and evangelism and literature work, and we'd like to investigate the possibilities for radio ministry, and do pray with us that the Lord would lead and guide concerning the different aspects of the work. There are also a number of tribes that the Reverend Kendigore has a particular interest in, and he would love to see more missionary work in their midst, and he would love to see churches established among those tribes. I'll just mention them to you. There is the Sabaot people. We mentioned Mount Elgon. The Sabaot people live on the slopes of Mount Elgon. Some live in Kenya, some in Uganda. Here are people, and they believe in a creator God. They believe in a God who has created the heavens and the earth. But they believe that he's far away. And they believe that the events in their everyday life are influenced and controlled by the spirit of the ancestors. But here are people who have a desire to hear the gospel. The last time that we were there, the Reverend Kendigore was a meeting that we were at, and there was a man challenged the Reverend Kendigore. He said, "You came to our area and you took meetings, but you didn't come back." And the reason he didn't come back was because he wasn't able to. He couldn't be in several places at the one time. But there are people who have a desire to hear the gospel. And then there's the Pokot people, and it's in the area of the BCFC, the Christian Academy at Kapanguria. There's the Turkana, which are the second largest pastoral people in Kenya. They live in the northwest part of the country. And then there's the Karamojong. The Karamojong, they live over the border in Uganda. And they live in that area of eastern Uganda. And so do pray that the Lord would be pleased. The church in Kenya would ask us that we would pray with them as to how these tribes can be evangelized with the gospel. And we'd encourage you to pray to that end. And so, as we think of the Lord's work, the psalmist declares in Psalm 68 and verse 11 that the Lord gave the work, and great was the company of those that published it. Pray that that would not only be so here in Ulster, but it would also be so concerning the Lord's work in the land of Kenya. And as we think of the great commission that the Lord has given and how it is to be fulfilled, we're to realise, first of all, that we do need to pray. It's good to hear and encouraging that you're having a missionary prayer meetings. And we would encourage you to pray. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, we're reminded, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." We need to give ourselves to prayer. I wonder, just as we survey, even we've entered into a new year, we have come, as it were, we're 5 or 6 days in into the new year. Really reflect as how we've started the new year. I wonder, have we all been diligent to that each day that we have read our portion of God's word? As we survey in the first few days of this year, have we taken that time diligently each day to spend time with the Lord in prayer? I pray that we would reflect on our daily lives. And I would say that it is of utmost importance for each one of us that we read a portion of God's word every day, and that we spend time with the Lord in prayer. That's essential for each one of us in the growth in Christian life. Hudson Taylor, he said, a missionary to China, he said, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer, and get first of all into harmony with him." C.H. Spurgeon, it was said of C.H. Spurgeon, really, that he rarely prayed for more than 15 minutes. But he rarely went 15 minutes without prayer. Think about that. He rarely went 15 minutes without prayer. And so I believe that that should be a continual practice in our lives, that day by day, that our lives, and not just for ministers or missionaries, but just engaged in the everyday things of life, whether it be out on the farm or in the factory or in the office or wherever, and the things that we have to do, and the little problems that we come up against, it is our privilege to commit them all to the Lord in prayer. And as we think of the Lord's work, and Mary Slessor, she said concerning prayer, "Prayer is the greatest power God has put into our hands for service. Praying is harder than doing. At least I find it so. But the dynamic lies that way to advance the kingdom. There needs to be much prayer and God's work. And so it is. Prayer is not easy work. Prayer is hard work. But as A.T. Pearson reminds us, every step in the progress of missions is directly traceable to prayer. And I would also say that that is so for lives. And I would encourage you, brethren and sister, to pray for us. Little verse in our card in Jeremiah 37 and verse 3. Pray now unto the Lord our God for us. And pray not only for us, but pray for others to engage in God's work. Remind in Luke 10 and verse 2. Therefore say ye unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray ye the Lord for a harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. And so I would encourage you to continue in prayer, to engage in prayer day by day, individually. Engage in prayer collectively as a church, because we know that it is only as we engage in prayer that we will advance in the Lord's work. We have this little bookmark, and there is on it some points for prayer. And first of all, we have for the granting of a work permit. We have not got an official work permit as such at this point, but we do hope that that will, at the point of time, that we will be able to get the work permit that is required in order for us to remain in the country. Members also, as we seek to learn the Swahili language, I pray that the Lord will help us. We know that it's quite a bit of work just to try and learn the vocabulary and to learn the different aspects of grammar. But you know, whenever you've done that, you haven't learned the language, because there's a whole lot of idiom. If you think about the things that we say in Ulster, there's many things that a foreigner or an outsider wouldn't understand. And the same with in Swahili. understanding the idiom can be quite a task. But pray for us as we seek to learn the language. Pray also that we would have acceptance with the people, that the Lord would lead and guide us to how we evangelize, that the Lord would lead and guide us to how we can encourage and strengthen national believers. And pray also for safety and travel. I was just looking at the news in Kenya last night, and one of the headlines was 40 people have lost their lives on the roads in the last 48 hours. And so can you imagine 40 people being killed on the roads in the last 48 hours? Kenya has got one of the highest mortality rates in relation to road accidents. And so do pray that the Lord would be pleased to watch over us and to grant us safety in the country. And also pray that the Lord would grant us health and strength in a tropical country. There's a new myriad of diseases that one can take. But do pray that the Lord would watch over us and grant us health and strength as we engage in the Lord's work. Remember also our two boys, Timothy and Philip, as they continue in their studies in university, that the Lord would undertake for them and that the Lord would be with them. But also as we go, we will be working or become part of the missionary team that is already in Kenya. And so do remember also our sister Gillian Gillespie, her work in Kakamega. Remember our sister Noreen McAfee is the principal of the BCFC Academy. Our sister Kathy Walker and her work in the bookshops and also in the musical ministries, both in the Christian Academy and in the churches. And then also our sister Margaret Russell, who returns to Kenya on the same day as ourselves. Remember Margaret as she leads the work in Kenya. She's involved in the management of school and oversees the work in the Sunday schools and in the day nurseries. Remember also, in a special way, the Reverend Kendigore. He is a good soldier of the cross, and do pray that the Lord would be pleased to grant him continuing health and strength. Pray that the ministers and office bearers of the BCFC denomination, that they will have a clear vision for the future of the work, and that they will have a fervent zeal for the evangelization of the lost. And whenever you think of us, do think of all the missionaries, and pray that the Lord's work would truly go forward in the land of Kenya. We know when we pray it will go forward here in the land of Ulster and the various mission fields that our church is involved in. But do remember us in the land of Kenya. And may the Lord help us, as William Carey has said, to expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. May the Lord be pleased to grant it to us.